So here we go. Welcome. I'm so glad that you're able to join us this morning. It's Sunday the 26th of April. It's 10:30. And yes, we are live. We're putting ourselves at the mercy of our internet and everything else that might go on over the next 30 minutes. But we think it's important to do this in the way that we're doing it, because there's something special about sharing this moment together, carving out this moment and spending time listening to what God has to say about these extraordinary times that we find ourselves in. My name is Andrew Sampson, and I'm one of the leaders of Grace Church. I know many of you are part of the church community already, but a particularly warm welcome to those of you who are joining us from elsewhere. I'm aware that there are people perhaps watching, listening in from not just the local area, but all over the place, and indeed from other nations of the world. Welcome to you. I'm so glad that you're with us. Here's how this is going to work over the next 30 minutes or so, and we're going to be finished by 11 o'clock. We've got the comments below the screen. And I would love it if you could use those comments as much as you're able, as much as you're willing. I'm not able to see what you're posting there, but others are. So just so that we can make sure that this is a time where there's full engagement and interaction, please be posting your responses to the prayers that are prayed. Please be posting words of encouragement for one another, just so that we can all engage together in this moment and make the most of it together. So we're in Psalm 42. Now, the book of Psalms is a collection of prayers in the Bible that are also poems. And this particular psalm I've selected for this morning because it speaks about the experience of loss. So I think it speaks very relevantly, very pertinently to the situation that many of ourselves find ourselves in at this particular moment. And my wife Laura and I are raising two young boys. On a daily basis, we're struggling to help them come to terms with their experience of loss. Yes, we can interact with friends through a computer screen, but it's just not the same. Yes, we can go out for regular daily exercise, but it's not enough. Yes, we can plan what we're doing on this particular day, but we're unable to plan further ahead because we've got no idea what's going to happen in the future. And if you, like us, are living with this sense of loss, just cause you to grieve, this is a psalm that speaks for you. It speaks for you, but it also speaks to you. Because as we'll see in a few moments, the person writing this psalm doesn't hold back from talking about the anguish and the hardship that they're experiencing. But ultimately, this is a psalm about hope. And it's a psalm that is given us that hope might be instilled in our very souls. So I urge you to come to this morning with an open mind, an open heart. Let's see what God wants to do over these next 25 minutes or so. Shall we pray together? Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are a God who is alive. You're a God who speaks. Lord, we thank you that in the Bible we have this remarkable collection of books that is timeless in their that are timeless in their relevance. They speak so directly and so truthfully into our lives and situations. And we just pray this morning that we might hear your voice speaking to us, that this would be for each one of us a holy moment as we receive from you, as we engage with you, as we know your presence in our lives. For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'm going to read the psalm. It's Psalm 42, if you've just joined us. If you're able to turn to it, please do so, but I'm going to read it in full now. Psalm 42, there's an introductory statement that I'm going to miss out, starting at verse 1. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? My tears have been my food day and night, while men say to me all day long, where is your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I used to go with the multitude, leading the procession to the house of God with shouts of joy and thanksgiving among the festive throng. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God. My soul is downcast within me, therefore I will remember you from the land of the Jordan, the heights of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep in the roar of your waterfalls, all your waves and breakers have swept over me. By day, the Lord directs his love. At night, his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? My bones suffer mortal agony as my foes taunt me, saying to me all day long, where is your God? Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God. So that's the prayer poem that we're going to be looking at. And you may have picked up, even from that reading just then, that it's divided into two parts. Both part ends with exactly the same refrain. So you've got part one, which ends with the words, why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God. And then you've got part two, and it ends with exactly the same words. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God. So we're going to look at each of those parts in turn, and each part is based on a very different picture. So let's have a look at the first section. And it starts with this beautiful picture in verse 1. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. Then verse 2. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? So the picture is of a dry landscape, this arid wilderness. And the psalmist is saying, I feel like I'm a deer and I'm thirsting for water and panting for water. I'm in a place where I don't want to be right now. This is not home. This is not a place that is conducive to my flourishing. I'm like a deer longing for water, but I thirst for you, God. I thirst for your presence. I thirst for a touch from you while I'm in this dry, arid place. My soul pants for you, O God. End of verse 1. And then the very next statement, my soul thirsts for God. Notice the intensity of the language. Have you ever known a thirst so intense that you would do anything in order to quench it? That's what's going on here. And the psalmist is talking not about physical thirst, but about spiritual thirst. My soul thirsts for you, O God. Just as our bodies can't live without water, so our souls cannot live. Our souls cannot thrive and flourish without God. Just a word about soul, that term soul. When we use that term soul, we're talking about the core part of our being. We're not talking about the version of ourselves that we project to the world. We're talking about who we truly are before God. And there's something else going on with this term soul. This term soul reminds us that we're not mere machines. We're not just a collection of chemicals. We are creatures whom God has made for himself. We are created that we might have connection with our Creator, that we might know the one who satisfies all our spiritual needs and spiritual longings. And in a time like the one we find ourselves in, when so much has been stripped back, so much has been pulled away, the effect for so many of us is it just causes us to be more aware than ever of our spiritual need, our need for connection with God, for intimacy with our Creator. A man called Augustine, writing many centuries ago, wrote this line that's become quite well known. He said, our hearts are restless until they find their rest in you, O God. We are in a place that this is not where we want to be. This is not a place that's conducive to our flourishing. I just want to address two groups of people. Perhaps you're joining us this morning and you wouldn't call yourself a Christian, you wouldn't call yourself a believer, you're not part of Grace Church or any other church for that matter, but this season has just caused you to reevaluate life, to reconsider what's truly important, and you're hungering and thirsting for more than what our political authorities can offer. You're hungering for more than our scientific authorities can deliver. And you recognize that there's this hunger in you for spiritual reality, for connection with God. And if that's you, I'm so glad you're here. You're so welcome. I hope that you want to stick around with us. And let me address a second category of people. And this might be you. Perhaps you're a believer, perhaps you've been walking with God for some time, but you identify with the psalmist in verse 4. In verse 4 of the psalm, the psalmist is talking about those times he once knew when he went to the temple and he joined in with all the other worshippers and he was part of the congregation. But now all of that's gone. Now all of that is past. Now he's not able to gather with fellow believers. And he just recognizes, oh, I'm dry, I'm parched, I'm longing for God's presence. Perhaps that's you. Perhaps, like me, you miss those moments profoundly where you get to gather with others. But friends, I don't want to be addressing you like this. I thank God for modern technology, but I don't want to be communicating to you through a screen. I want to be with you. I want to be with you in person. I want to be with you in the congregation as we shout with joy and thanksgiving. Part of the festive throng, to use the language of verse 4. This sucks. Hopefully not this message, but this sucks. This is not where we want to be. It's like we're a deer in this barren, arid landscape. Do you, like me, just feel this thirst rising up in you? Lord, I long for you. I long for your presence, that you might satisfy my soul. The psalmist says in verse 2, my soul thirsts for God, for the living God, for the real thing, not just religious ritual. I long for God's presence. When can I go and meet with God? I long that he would come close. And then in verse 3, the psalmist says, my tears have been my food day and night, while men say to me all day long, where is your God? It's a natural question. Where is God? Where is God in all this? Where is God when hard times happen? And it's not a question that the writers of the Bible ever shy away from. It's not something they avoid. In fact, much of the Bible is written to address questions just like that one. But the psalmist helps us understand that sometimes we're unable to understand precisely what it is that God is doing in any particular situation. And at those moments, we need to lay aside our right to know. We need to put to one side our sense of entitlement to be on the inside track with the divine mind, because there's something more important than understanding God, and that's trusting him. Trusting God is more important than understanding God. And that's exactly where the psalmist takes us in verse 5. In verse 5, everything changes. Everything changes and nothing changes. There's no hint that the circumstances of the psalmist have changed. He's not been taken out of this situation. Rather, he's come to find hope in his situation. And he writes, why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God. The psalmist shifts from addressing God, which he's been doing in verse 1, and speaking to his audience, which he's been doing in verses 2, 3 and 4. Now he's addressing his own soul, the core part of his being. And he's saying, come on, soul. Come on, soul, put your hope in God. Come on, soul, don't you remember he is worthy of praise? He is deserving of my worship. So right here, right now, whatever's going on in my life, whatever I'm feeling, whatever my circumstances are like, I'm making a commitment, I'm making this resolution, I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God. Just reflect on those terms, Saviour and God. The word saviour means rescuer or deliverer. Perhaps the psalmist, in writing this psalm, is mindful of that moment where God delivered his people. He rescued his people by bringing them out of slavery in Egypt. But even that mighty act of deliverance was just the warm-up act for a still greater act of deliverance that was to come in the future, when God entered into this world in person. And he walked this earth as a man. He was named Jesus. And God submitted to the evil schemes of his enemies, and he was nailed to a wooden cross. There he died a cruel, tortuous death. But that particular moment of utter humiliation and apparent defeat was the moment when God won the greatest victory in all cosmic history. He defeated sin and death. He rescued us. He rescued humanity from sin and death. He saved me. He saved me from the grip of sin. The Bible talks about sin as being a hostile power, hostile influence in our lives that holds us in its grip, that pulls us away from following the way of God that leads to life and pushes us into a way of life that ultimately leads to our ruin and destruction. I've been freed from that. I've been rescued from guilt and shame. I've been given a new heart. I've been brought into the family of God. I've been adopted as his son. Now I am his and he is mine forever. And the relevance of all of that is this. If God has done all that for me in the past, if God has delivered me from all of that, how can I doubt that he will come through for me in the here and now? He is my saviour. And, says the psalmist, he is my God. The word God refers to what is ultimate in a person's life. The thing that they're placing their trust in. The Bible presses this question on us. Really, this is the most important question we could ever ask ourselves. In who or what do we place our trust? Which is really another way of asking the question, who or what is your God? The health system? The government? The financial system? Our scientific authorities? No, the psalmist is clear. The psalmist is clear that his God, the one he places his trust in, is the one that he used to go and worship with the congregation in the temple. This is the God who created all things. He is the God in whom I place my trust, my saviour and my God. If you, like the psalmist, are feeling spiritually dry, because we're in a place we don't want to be, just feeling this sense of loss, this is a psalm that speaks for you and a psalm that speaks to you as it urges you, as it urges me, to put our trust in God and reach out to him in these moments. That's the first section of the psalm. There's a second section of the psalm, and here the picture completely changes. Here the picture is not of an absence of water, rather it's a picture of being engulfed in water. So we pick up from verse 6, my soul is downcast within me, therefore I will remember you from the land of the Jordan, the heights of Hermon, from Mount Mizar, deep calls to deep and the roar of your waterfalls, all your waves and breakers have swept over me. The psalmist is saying, now I don't feel like a deer in this barren, arid landscape. Here's a different picture altogether that encapsulates a different aspect of what I'm feeling right now. I feel that I'm on the slopes of Mount Hermon near the source of the River Jordan. There's this water cascading over boulders and over falls, and I'm caught up in the torrent of this water. I'm consumed in this water and I'm being turned over and over. This phrase, deep course to deep, that the term deep isn't a positive term here. Deep course to deep speaks of the destructive force of this water. One of my childhood memories is of going in the surf on one of the Cornish beaches and being caught up in this wave and being taken up and then down and then under and being turned over and over under the water. And I was completely disorientated. I didn't know which way was up, which way was down. And but it seemed like an eternity. In reality, it was just a few seconds that I was under there. But when I came up to the surface, gasping for air, I'd been overwhelmed. This is a picture of being overwhelmed by circumstances. This portrays somebody who is saying, I don't know how much more of this I can take. And I wonder if that's you this morning. There are many who are overwhelmed with grief right now. Perhaps you've lost someone dear to you, and the worst part of it is you couldn't be there with them at the end. Perhaps you're overwhelmed with the needs of your children. At the end of every day, you collapse on the sofa, physically and emotionally drained, and all you can think is, I've got to do this all over again tomorrow. Perhaps you're overwhelmed with anxiety. Perhaps you're thinking, I don't know if my business is going to survive. I don't know if my livelihood is going to survive. What if there's this recession? What if we're not able to make it through this? If that's you, if you're overwhelmed, if you have a sense of being overwhelmed, it's a psalm that speaks for you and it's a psalm that speaks to you. All the indications from the psalm show that the psalmist is being overwhelmed by his enemies, and that you might not relate to that especially, although you may. And if you're looking at this morning and you're a victim of domestic abuse, my heart goes out to you and I want you to know this is a psalm for you as well. But whatever situation you're going through, the beauty of the Psalms is they're written to address specific situations, but they're not confined to those situations. Whatever situation you're going to, notice, yes, the anguish and the sense of pain that the psalmist is experiencing, but notice too how the psalmist is holding on to hope. Verse 8, by day the Lord directs his love, at night his song is with me. Beginning part of verse 9. I say to God, my rock. In spite of it all, in spite of everything that's happening, the psalmist addresses God as his rock. Something rock-like about this God. He's sure and he's steadfast. He's trustworthy and true, and I can depend on him come what may. His love is a firm foundation beneath my feet. I do not need to be concerned about being overwhelmed because I know that I'm ultimately stood on something rock solid. Here is a God who will not let me down and he will not let me go. And the psalmist concludes this section of the psalm in the same way he concluded the first. Verse 11, why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God. Come on, soul, get with the picture, will you? Come on, soul, get with reality. Yes, I look out the window and things don't look too great right now, but that's not the sum total of reality, because I know there is a God in heaven and he is the one who is like a rock beneath my feet. He is my Saviour and my God, and I'm going to entrust myself to him. Just a final word on that phrase, my Saviour and my God. Notice how personal the language is. The psalmist isn't saying that God is the Saviour of the world in a general sense. The psalmist is saying, he's my Saviour. He has saved me and he continues to deliver me. The psalmist isn't saying that he is God of the whole world in a general sense. He's saying, this God is my God. He has my trust. It's personal. Here's my invitation to you this morning. It's an invitation for you to make things personal. I want to lead us over our remaining time together in a time of response. And in a moment, I'm going to pray, but conscious that perhaps there are two categories of people especially. First, it's those of you who've been walking with God for some time. You would call yourself a believer. You're part of Grace Church. You're part of another church. And perhaps you've prayed prayers like the prayers we're about to pray dozens or even hundreds of times before. But I want to urge you in this moment to make your personal response to God today. That this will be a holy moment for you in reaching out to God, drawing close to him. There's another group of people, but those of you who perhaps wouldn't call yourself a Christian, not really sure what you believe, but nevertheless, you're watching this, you're listening into this, you're so welcome. I'm so glad that you're here, as I've said already. And this is an opportunity for you, too, to make your personal response to God. We're all in this together. And I'm going to pray two prayers for two different groups of people, perhaps you identify with both. The first is those of you who are feeling spiritually dry. And like the psalmist, you just find there's a yearning in you, there's a thirst in you for God's presence. And I'm going to lead us in a time of prayer, in inviting God to come close and flood us with his presence. And the second group of people is those of you who feel overwhelmed. And again, I'm going to lead you in a prayer that will just help you to reach out to God in your situation. And I trust as you do that, he will come close to you. So whatever you're doing, I just urge you to try as best as you can just to carve out this moment. Make this a holy moment that we can respond together. Well, perhaps you're watching this while you're doing the washing up, you're engaging with the kids or whatever. Just do your best to detach yourself from those things as best you can so that we can spend these moments responding to God together. So let us pray. Firstly, a prayer for those who are spiritually dry. The psalmist writes, "As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God?" Let's pray. Living God, come and meet with me now in this moment. Come into my life. I long for your presence. Thank you that you and you alone can satisfy the thirst of my soul. And when God came to earth and walked with us as a man, Jesus said, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of water will flow from within him." Those are Jesus' words from John chapter 7, verses 37 to 38. So let's take a moment to receive the promise of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that you are the source of life-giving water. You give God's Spirit to us. You flood our lives with God's presence and satisfy our souls. So with the psalmist, we say, "I will put my hope in you, God, and I will praise you, my Saviour and my God." Amen. The first prayer. Second prayer is for those of you who are feeling overwhelmed. Let me just read a couple of verses, verses 7 and 8 from the psalm. "Deep calls to deep, and the roar of your waterfalls, all your waves and breakers have swept over me. By day the Lord directs his love, at night his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life." Let's pray. Living God, come and meet with us now. Thank you that you are like a firm rock beneath my feet. Thank you that when I reach the end of myself, you sustain me and you strengthen me. Thank you that I can trust you always. And when God came to earth and walked with us as a man, Jesus said, "In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." That's from John 16, verse 33. So let's receive the words of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that we have nothing to fear, that you are a God who is trustworthy and true. And with the psalmist we pray, "I will put my hope in you, God, and I will praise you, my Saviour and my God." Amen. Amen. Well, we're going to end there. We would love to hear from you. If you've been helped by this morning, if you've got any questions in relation to what you've heard this morning, please get in touch with us. Our email address is info@gracetruro.org. We will respond to every question that comes our way. We'd especially love to hear from you if you took this opportunity to bring yourself to God for the first time and make a personal response to him for the first time. Please get in touch with us so that we can encourage you. But we're going to close this part of our time together here. We're here again, 10:30 next week, when I'm going to be looking at another of the Psalms. Let me just say the blessing, and if you know the blessing also, then join in with me. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Amen. Look forward to seeing you soon, and trust that I'll see many of you on a Zoom screen very soon indeed. God bless you.